بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the ninth matter which invalidates a person's Islam. And that is, for a person to believe, it is okay for somebody to be outside of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just as it was okay for Khidr to be outside the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam. And in this lesson, the final lesson of this series, we come to the 10th matter which invalidates a person's Islam. The author, Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, he said, "An-naqid al-ashir." The 10th matter which invalidates a person's Islam. Al-i'radu an deenillahi ta'ala. Yata'allamuhu wa la ya'malu bihi. Is for a person to have i'rad. And the meaning of i'rad is to turn away. So the 10th matter which invalidates a person's Islam is when a person turns away completely from the religion of Allah, does not learn anything, neither does he act by it. He said, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and the evidence is the saying of Allah, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. And who is more wrong than a person who is reminded about the ayat of his Lord, ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا, then he turns away. And in reality, this is something which is very dangerous, because even now amongst our communities and sometimes amongst our families, those people who call themselves Muslims but they don't have anything at all to do with Islam. So they don't know Tawheed, and they don't care about Tawheed, and they don't pray the prayers. Maybe they pray the Eid prayer, if that. They don't fast, they don't give zakah. They have absolutely nothing to do with Islam. No knowledge, no learning, no actions. They don't differentiate between wajib and haram at all. And yet they call themselves Muslims. So this is al-i'rad. And the ulama, they call this kufr al-i'rad. The kufr, the disbelief, which is due to al-i'rad. Completely turning away from the religion. Like we said, no knowledge and no actions regarding those matters by which a person is a Muslim. So when the author said, turning away from the religion of Allah, not knowing it, neither acting by it, meaning not knowing the matters of the religion by which a person becomes a Muslim. Meaning, a person, he doesn't know Tawheed from Shirk, and he doesn't know Iman from Kufr, doesn't know the Sunnah, doesn't know anything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The person has nothing. And neither does he have salah or zakah. He has nothing from the religion except the name Muslim. So the point behind al-i'rad, turning away, i.e. a person turning away from knowing and acting upon the usul of the religion, the core matters of the religion by which a person becomes a Muslim. This is the meaning of i'rad. And there are many ayat in the Quran which are an evidence for this principle. Firstly, like the author said, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. Who is more wrong, I sinful, than the one who is reminded about the ayat of his Lord, ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا, then he turns away from them. إعراض. Also Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ. Those people who disbelieved and they rejected that which they were warned against, i.e. ashirk mu'ridun. They are turning away from Islam. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُعْرِضْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ يَسْلُكْهُ عَذَابًا صَعَدًا. That the person who turns away from the remembrance of his Lord will be taken to the painful punishment. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. Whoever أعرض, turns away, completely turns away from my remembrance, for him is the depressed life. Allah said regarding the munafiqun, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. When it is said to them, come to that which Allah has revealed, رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ, you will see the munafiqeen, يَصُدُّونَ عَنْكَ صُدُودًا, they turn away from you. So this is كُفْرُ الْإِعْرَاضِ, the disbelief which occurs by way of a person completely turning away from the religion of Allah. He says he's a Muslim, but he doesn't learn anything about Islam, has no knowledge about Islam, doesn't do any actions of Islam. Like said, no salah, no fasting, no zakah, nothing. Also when it comes to at-tawheed, knows nothing about at-tawheed, doesn't want to learn about at-tawheed. This is kufr. The author said, لا يتعلمه. A person doesn't learn it. A person doesn't learn it, meaning he doesn't learn it because he rejects to learn it. So not because of laziness, no, because he's too busy or he doesn't have the ability, but he doesn't want to learn it. So we don't say that anybody who does not come to a lesson of Tawheed is a kafir. We're not allowed to say this, because some people are lazy and other people don't have the ability. Other people are occupied and busy with work and other matters in the dunya. But somebody says, no, I don't want to learn about At-Tawheed, or I don't want to know anything about Iman. وَلَا يَعْمَلُ بِهِ, and neither does he do any actions of Islam. Like he said, no salah, no zakah, no hajj, no fasting, none of the wajibat, doesn't care about the things which Allah has made haram, does not act anything or by anything or implement At-Tawheed. So this is the type of kufr that the author is talking about. And as I said, this is something which is dangerous, because members of our community and sometimes our family, they are in this situation. They may be called, or they may have a Muslim name, but they have absolutely no actions with them, apart from maybe Salatul Eid. And at the same time, they don't differentiate between Tawheed and Shirk. They've got no idea what Tawheed is, and what Iman is, and what are the pillars of Iman. So how can such a person be a Muslim? These people have a'radha. They have turned away from learning about the religion of Allah and also acting by the religion of Allah. When it comes to knowledge and actions, there's three groups. There are three groups when it comes to knowledge and actions. Two extremes and then the one which is in the middle. So one extreme is those who have the knowledge and then they don't act by this knowledge. And the ulama mentioned that this was a characteristic of the Yahud. The Yahud, they knew the Torah and they knew the signs and they knew the scriptures, but arrogantly they didn't used to act upon it. And therefore, the ulama say, whoever has knowledge and doesn't act upon knowledge, then he has a resemblance of al-Yahud, na'udh billah. And then the second group of people are those who used to do actions but without any knowledge. And this is the Nasara. The Nasara, they are the most ignorant. They are more ignorant than the Yahud regarding their own scriptures. Yet, they do actions. And the ulama mentioned that whoever doesn't have knowledge, or whoever does actions but without knowledge, without evidences, then that person has a resemblance of the Nasara. And they are غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Those whose anger Allah is upon, i.e. al-Yahud, and al-Dhalun, the misguided, i.e. the Nasara. Then you have the group which is in the middle, and they are the Muslims. And the Muslims, they learn and they seek knowledge and they try to act according to their ability. And Allah said in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. He is the one who sent his messenger with huda, with guidance. وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, and with the religion of truth. The Mufassirun say, Al-Huda, meaning knowledge. Deen al-Haq, i.e. actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent His messenger with two things. With knowledge, which was the guidance that He came with, and then the actions, the ibadat, which we have to also implement. When it comes to knowledge, not all the knowledge of Islam is the same level. And not every knowledge of Islam or every branch of Islam is an obligation. There are two levels. The highest level is al-wajib al-ayni, the knowledge which is an obligation upon every single Muslim. Nobody is excused from this level of knowledge. Neither a woman, nor somebody who's old, nor somebody who's young. Nobody is excused from this type of knowledge. So the knowledge which is wajibun ayni, i.e. an individual obligation, is that knowledge which a person needs to fulfill his religion. So for example, a person has to know about the pillars of Iman, because you can't be a Muslim if you don't know about Allah and His messengers and His angels and the final day and His books and the decree and so on and so forth. Also, at-tawheed. A person cannot be a Muslim if he knows nothing about at-tawheed. Also, the ibadat, which are an obligation upon you when they are an obligation upon you. Meaning, when a person is old enough for salah to be an obligation upon them, then they have to learn about salah. They have to know what to say in the salah, which matters break the salah, what are the conditions of salah, how to make wudu, what do you do when you're in a state of janabah, because you can't worship Allah with that obligation if you don't know about it. If a person is going to do hajj, then he or she needs to learn about hajj. So you know the pillars of hajj and the actions of hajj and what things break a person's ihram. Because if you don't know this, how are you going to fulfill this obligation? Also, az-zakah. When a person has enough money that now zakah is an obligation upon you, now it becomes an obligation upon you to learn about az-zakah. So how much do you give? What type of wealth do you give? To whom is it given? And the other rulings of az-zakah. So the knowledge which is an individual obligation upon every single Muslim is the pillars of Iman, a person's Aqeedah, At-Tawheed, and then those actions which are an obligation upon you when they become an obligation upon you. And if a person doesn't learn this level of knowledge, then that person is sinning. Ignorance about this, it is a sin. Then the second level of knowledge is Al-Wajib Al-Kafa'i. And Al-Wajib Al-Kafa'i means it is an obligation upon a group of Muslims, not upon every Muslim. So for example, the knowledge of the laws of inheritance. We don't say every single Muslim needs to learn about the laws of inheritance. No, as long as some of the ulama know, and then they are able to implement the laws of inheritance, then that is sufficient. Also for example, the science of hadith. How to differentiate between the hadith which is sahih and Hassan and Da'if. Not every single Muslim is obligated to know this, but some of the ulama are. And usulul fiqh. And also, for example, the Arabic language and matters like this. Then the author, Rahimullah, in ending this treatise, he mentioned some principles. He said, وَلَا فَرَقَ فِي جَمِيعِ هَذِهِ النَّوَاقِضِ بَيْنَ الْهَازِلِ وَالْجَادِ وَالْخَائِفِ إِلَّا الْمُكْرَهِ. That there is no difference in all these matters which invalidate a person's Islam. These 10 matters which the Imam mentioned that invalidate a person's Islam, the author said, these 10 matters, there is no difference between them, whether a person was joking, or he was serious, or he was scared. Except if he is mukra. And mukra is a person who is forced to do one of these actions. And in this line are a number of principles. First of all, the author said, وَلَا فَرَقَ فِي جَمِيعِ هَذِهِ النَّوَاقِضِ بَيْنَ الْهَازِلِ وَالْجَادِ وَالْخَائِفِ. That these matters which invalidate a person's Islam, regardless of whether a person was joking, or he was serious, or he was scared, still leaves the fold of Islam. And already we studied the ayah in which Allah said, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّ نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. That if you ask them, why were they mocking the Prophet? They will say, we were only joking. We were only playing around. And Allah did not give them an excuse. He said, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Don't make these excuses. You have left Iman and gone into Al-Kufr. This is the first principle. The first principle is, if one of these 10 actions which invalidate a person's Islam, if a person did them jokingly, leaves the fold of Islam. If he did them seriously, leaves the fold of Islam. If a person did them in a state of khawf, fear, still leaves the fold of Islam. Meaning it's not allowed for a person to bow down to an idol because I was scared maybe the kuffar will say something to me. That's not allowed. Or a person mocks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mocks the ayah because I was scared that they might do something to my house. This isn't allowed. Then he mentioned the second principle, إِلَّا الْمُكْرَهُ. Only the one who is forced to do something has an excuse. And this is because Allah said in the Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Except for the one who is forced. I.e. except for the one who is forced to do an action of kufr, but inside his heart, he is tranquil with Iman. How do we know, or how do we differentiate between Al-Ikrah and Al-Khawf? Between mere fear and between being forced to do something. The ulama mentioned that there are three conditions for ikrah, for coercion to be an excuse. Firstly, that this forcing, it has to be real. It isn't just a threat. Rather, they are forcing you, or somebody's got a gun against your head, or this threat is a real threat and they are going to do something, then it is allowed. As for mere fear, then this does not enter into this. Secondly, even if a person does or says a statement of kufr, وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, however, his heart has to be tranquil with Iman. And then the third condition is that when a person does this action of kufr because he is forced to do so, he only does it to remove himself from this punishment or that which is being forced upon him, not because he wants to please the people of disbelief. And this ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, except for the one who was forced to do an act of kufr and his heart was tranquil upon Iman. This ayah was revealed regarding the virtuous companion Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhuma. Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhuma, he was from one of the early Muslims. His father and his mother Sumayya, who was the first female martyr of Islam, and also Ammar ibn Yasir, who was young at that time. And because they were poor, the Quraysh used to force them to say and do acts of kufr in Mecca. So one day Ammar radiallahu anhu, he insulted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of the Quraysh. He mocked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He rejected and said words of kufr. Then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Quraysh had left him. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I said about you this and this and this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَيْفَ تَجِدُ قَلْبَكَ. When you were saying these things about me, when you were insulting me, swearing, rejecting Islam, saying statements of kufr, how did you find your heart during that time? He said, أَجِدُهُ مُطْمَئِنًا بِالْإِيمَانِ. My heart was tranquil upon Iman. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, إِنْ عَادُوا فَعُدْ. If they force you to do the same, then say the same. If they force you and coerce you and punish you upon these statements, then say the same statements, as long as your heart is tranquil with Iman. And then Allah revealed this ayah. He said, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ. The one who disbelieves in Allah after his Iman. إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Except for the one who was forced and coerced and his heart was tranquil with Iman. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا. However, as for the one whose heart or chest wanted al-kufr, فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Upon them is the anger of Allah and their great punishment. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ مُسْتَحَبُّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ This is because they preferred the life of this dunya over the akhirah. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ And Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. Then the author said, وَكُلُّهَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ مَا يَكُونُ خَطَرًا That these 10 matters which I have mentioned, which invalidate a person's Islam, they are the most dangerous matters. وَأَكْثَرُ مَا يَكُونُ وُقُوعًا And they are those matters which are occurring the most from the people. Meaning, the matters which invalidate a person's Islam are much more than 10. There are more than 10. But the author only mentioned 10. And the reason why he only mentioned 10 is because these 10 are the most dangerous and these 10 are the ones that occur the most in the communities. So, a shirk and making a wasila between a person and between Allah and a sihr, magic and istihza, joking and mocking about Allah or His ayat or His messenger. And like we mentioned, al-i'raz, turning away from the religion of Allah completely. These matters we see around us. And one of the distinctions of the books of the author is that he would write about things which were real. He never authored books which are mere theoretical or hypothetical. Rather, there were events which were occurring in his time and therefore he would write books regarding this. And this is why we find that the works of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, they're still relevant today. Because in some of the Muslim countries, it is just like Najd was 250 years ago, in which people were seeking blessings from trees, hanging things on trees, good luck and bad luck was seen on black crow or a cat or something like this, and superstition, and the hanging of amulets, and the going to the graves. Same things which were happening there 250 years ago in Najd, is occurring in some of the Muslim communities and some of the Muslim families today. And this is why we find that the books of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, they are very applicable. He said, يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَحْذَرَهَا That it is befitting for a Muslim to beware of these matters which invalidate his Islam. وَيَخَافُ مِنْهَا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ And that a person should be scared of these things above himself. Meaning, nobody should feel safe from ever being misguided or from falling into one of these 10 matters. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made a dua to Allah. He said, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ He said, Oh Allah, Oh my Lord, save me and my children from ever worshipping the idols. رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ Oh my Lord, they have misguided many people. So this was Ibrahim alayhi salam, a great prophet of Allah, and he was scared of ever worshipping an idol. And he used to make dua to Allah that save me from ever worshipping an idol. And who was this Ibrahim alayhi salam? He is Khalilur Rahman, the most beloved of the most merciful. He is the one who built the Kaaba with his hands. He is the one who was thrown into the fire because of At-Tawheed. He is the one who destroyed the idols with his hands. And he was the only person upon Islam at his time in that land. And yet despite all of this, he said, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ نَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامِ O Allah, keep me and my children safe from worshipping the idols. The Salaf would say, مَنْ يَأْمَنُ الْبَلَاءَ بَعْدَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ Who can ever feel safe from misguidance after Ibrahim? If Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did not feel safe from this, and he used to make dua to Allah, and he was who he was, then who are we to feel safe from a shirk, or feel safe from misguidance? And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ Three matters, if they are found inside a person, he will find the sweetness of Iman by them. And the last thing which he mentioned, أَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ That a person hates to go back to kufr after Allah has guided him, just like a person hates to be thrown into the fire. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, الحي لا تؤمن عليه الفتنة. The living person is never safe from al-fitna. And more than this, there came people before us and we see people around us that one day they're upon Islam and the next day, na'udhu billah, they have left Islam or they're not practicing anymore or they're not praying anymore. People who are strong in Iman and now they are weak in Iman. So if that happens to people who are around us, and many of those maybe they were better than us and more knowledgeable than us, then it can also happen to us. In fact, Iblis, who was Iblis? The one who saw Allah. And the Munafiqun, they used to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the miracles of the Prophet, yet they still disbelieved. And the uncles of the Prophet, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Abu Talib, they disbelieved, yet they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the father of Ibrahim and the wife of Lut. So these were the children of the prophets and the messengers, the uncles of the prophets and the messengers, those who were around them, and yet they disbelieved. So therefore a Muslim, like the author said, يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَحْذَرَهَا وَيَخَافُ مِنْهَا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ, that a Muslim should be very wary of these matters and scared upon himself that maybe he may also fall into these matters. Then the author said, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ مُوجِبَاتِ غَضَبِهِ وَأَلِيمِ عِقَابِهِ, we seek refuge in Allah from those things which bring his anger and from the pain of his punishment. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, it is al-isti'adha, and the meaning of isti'adha is طَلَبَ الْعَوْذُ. عَوْذ, like you say, أَعُوذُ. And عَوْذ, it means al-iltija, refuge, wal-i'tisam, and protection. Meaning a person is seeking refuge and protection and shelter with Allah before he falls into these matters. And then the author said, وَصَلَّى عَلَىٰ خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. By this, walhamdulillah, over 30 odd lessons, we have finished these four treaties. وجزاكم الله خيرا.